This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are Apple, and almost completely Apple today. NASA history will not be made this week. The Ethiopian 737 crash, well, they're saying the suspect software was in use. Asus, however you pronounce it, machines have been hacked globally. We'll talk about that. Of course, I want to welcome you to episode 1355 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, March 25th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime viewers and listeners of the show. Thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family, and staying subscribed. Of course, those of you who are brand new to the show, it's real simple to join the Ohana. All you have to do is just go over to geeknewscentral.com, get on the website, get subscribed to the show either via Apple Podcasts on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. We are really everywhere where you listen to audio. That's the most important thing to remember. There's hardly any outlets that this show is not available on. But get subscribed to the show, sign up for the newsletter while you're on the website, and we'll get you the show summary emailed directly to you immediately following the show. Of course, you can watch the show on the Apple TV Plus. No, we'll talk about that more, but you can watch the show on the Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com, or you can use our smart home device to tell it, hey, say the keyword to launch that device and then say, play the podcast Geek News Central. We are live. This is the beauty of this show. And I am here in Honolulu. I am live from Hawaii. We're available at live.geeknewscentral.com. And of course, we're on YouTube Live, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on, gosh, just about every other live streaming space, Twitch, Mixer, you name it. And I think we're streaming to 8 different locations. So there's no chance that you can't miss us when we're up live like this. Of course, most importantly, you can join our chat room. Our chat room is pretty cool. We're using a Mastodon chat server, and you can jump in, become part of the family here at geeknews.chat, or you can follow the, you can jump on the Slack channel as well just by sending me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. So you can contact me via email, again, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook. Partner shows include partner shows, GNC Week in Review by Kirk, The Gadget Professor with Don Bain, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, the new media show that's co-hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and of course, the Podcast Legend Show. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show has the longest running continuous sponsor of podcasts. It's essentially out there in existence. And of course, that's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. We're fast approaching 14 straight years of sponsorship from this great company. And they allow us to keep the lights on, keep the family fed, keep the insurance paid. Soon, to help put a new roof on the house, talk about that, and a lot of different other stuff. So your support of the sponsor directly supports me and the ability to do this show and put it out here twice a week for you. So again, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. When you're over there, we appreciate your support by using these promo codes, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it might be a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, whether it be a 99cent.com for new or transfer domains for new customers, or the best deal on the planet, the dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again, with a free domain. So $12, you get a domain, you get a website, you're up and running for a year. You can come become a creator of content, whether it be a podcast, whether it be a blog, whether it be just something you want to experiment with, get some stuff off your chest. Who knows? Doesn't matter. You can get started for $12 strictly by using my promo codes. Again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Take those promo codes, copy them, or click on the link, and then go over to the website and lock in your savings by making sure you enter those promo codes at checkout. That's key. Cut and paste so you're guaranteed to have the best value that's out there. You know, I've trusted GoDaddy for many, many, many years. I've got nearly I'm over 300 domains, multiple websites. Their customer service is top notch. They have business plans as well for those that are starting businesses and tools, email marketing, you name it, everything you need, commerce sites, anything you need to get online and do what you need to do to build a digital business or expand your ground business by having a great digital presence. These folks at GoDaddy can make it happen. And so definitely check out all the promo codes, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We will thank them for being a longtime sponsor here at the podcast. Don't forget the website. Don't forget the website. Get over there and give it a try. Check them out. Check the products out. Again, those deals. Again, lock in prices today. Best deal on the internet when it comes to new media. Actually, new hosting accounts. All right. All right. Going to move on here. Last Thursday, when I did the show, it just things were, you know, as always, it's the calm before the storm. And I'm the type of person where I know what's going to happen here in the next couple of months, and I'm getting a little bit antsy, you know. My mind is working overtime. I'm thinking about the new space. I'm thinking about the, what we're going to transform it to, you know, looking at budget, trying to figure out how much I can do, how quickly. And, I'm really, really excited to have this transformational, cool creator space in Southern Michigan. Nothing like it exists. I mean, over in Detroit, there's a little bit of it going on. Up in Grand Rapids, so there's a couple of creator spaces, but this will be really a premier creator space, really for people that wanting to create content, businesses that want to create content. I'm really, really kind of excited about what the potential is here. And if nothing else, I can breathe because I have a little room to grow. It does come, obviously, with just like any other business change, a little bit of risk. Because of the cost that I'm going to be laying out to do all this. I'm going to reach over here and grab hang on a second. But I think in the end, I think it's going to be something remarkable and provide some opportunity to some folks that may not have had it before and some businesses to be able to create some online digital content in a way that they haven't done before, that they may not be able to do really on their own. One thing I had mentioned, these new glasses, I don't know if you guys noticed, those of you who watch the show, they smudge real easy. And I don't know why my old glasses didn't smudge as easy. I don't know if maybe they're sitting different. It's driving me crazy. It really, really is. But as I'm getting ready to depart Hawaii, there's just a few things I have to do to the house to get it kind of ready. So when we are ready to punch the ticket and sell this place, got to put a new roof in. That's granted. So we're collecting bigs on that. I need a new garage door. Got to get around here in the next 60 days. And my son and I are going to paint it. We're going to power wash it. Do the most of the painting. My wife has said she'll do the trim. So that is on the list. And then Anna, my daughter, has made a decision that her boyfriend is going to move in and they are going to pay rent. So instead of getting a place on their own, so that's going to kind of help out a little bit with overall cost. So things are moving here, moving as we move ever get closer to the date where we will officially pull the plug here in the studio and go audio only. I think what I'm going to be able to do is the show probably will actually come back online video relatively quickly, but it will be in, well, it may be green screen only. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to rush things. but I think the transformation journey is going to be fun. And there is going to be a couple of weeks there where I'm not going to really be doing a lot because we are going to be working on a lot of different things. And of course, transitioning to being close to my team in Columbus as well. All right. So what else? I think that's it. That's all my jib jab for you tonight. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Yeah, yep, Matt, I'm busting out of here. Nancy, hello, how are you? So, yep, the days are numbered. My days in, living in Hawaii are numbered. I will be back periodically because Shoko and Chris are here, and I'll have to come here to see them. So, anyway, let's go ahead and get into the stack. Tonight, I actually, when Kirk had done the show prep, I opened up the list and I was like, where's the rest of the news? I said, this can be a short show because everything was Apple, 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 Apple. And I really had to kind of dig to find additional news. And I think what's happened is that companies have finally learned this is not the day to make any news announcements whatsoever when they're having a big event, because just Apple dominates the news. So for a show that is done Monday night after a big Apple event, it can be it was a little discouraging, but I have a good lineup of stuff. I mean, we get enough to talk until we run out of data. And I'm sure some of you already or maybe even watched Tim Cook and did his presentation at the Steve Jobs, is it called theater or whatever they call it? And, I kind of cringed a couple of times today during their event because they used words like plus. What did they buy that permission from Google? Don't they realize the plus thing is kind of like Google cursed, Google Plus, and then now they're going to have Apple TV Plus. And I'm just kind of like, oh, come on. Are they going to have Apple News Plus? Could they have not been more original? Couldn't have they called it Apple News Premium or is something more fancy than that instead of using the plus sign? I'm like, Steve Jobs rolling around in his grave, over some of the stuff that's being announced here. But who actually still reads magazines? I haven't read my wife does. But she collects Japanese magazines. And of course, where do the magazines end up? Right? In the throne room, in the bathroom, in the magazine rack, right? Because that seems to be the place where people like to read magazines. I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest with you. But that's where all Japanese magazines are. And so I don't really read magazines anymore. Digitally, online, I do, I guess. But this Apple News service, with $9.99 a month, giving you access to 300 different magazines, like The New Yorker, Esquire, The Atlantic, National Geographic, Men's Health, and Vogue. Well, those are, I guess, I know the ladies will read fashion magazines and stuff, but to me, that was, I don't care about fashion magazines. I'm a fashion diva, wearing polo shirts and, I'm sure some people are worried about style. I'm kind of past that at this point. I get nice jackets and stuff to wear to clean up when I need to. But other than that, I understand it. But is this the Hail Mary for magazines? Is this their last hoorah, or are you a regular magazine reader? Now, I'll admit I do like National Geographic. I think they've got good articles, but I haven't had a National Geographic subscription in 15 years. Don't even have the online one. So when I see this $9.99, I think about, okay, how much would I spend? And I'm spending zero today on magazine. Zero. I mean, zero. I don't spend nothing on magazines. I get a free, because I'm a veteran, I get some real, I'm a Legion member, I'm a VFW member, I'm a Fleet Reserve member. What else? Who else do I throw money to every year to watch over Those are basically three big veterans groups. And, my membership is active with those largely because they represent me in Congress and go to talk to representatives and make sure my benefits and stuff are protected. And it's a voice. So I'm basically paying a lobbyist, and they send me, and obviously the Legions and the VFWs do a lot of great work in many towns across America. They have all kinds of events and, they help the communities. And so they give back. But I have never been in a really position to participate. Maybe now that I'm going back to Michigan, I'll be able to do that, because the local Legion I belong to, I do like going to, and there's people that I've known for years that go there. So maybe I'll be a little more active. But how does that relate to magazines? Well, they send me a magazine and my amateur, AMA, that I pay every year for my drone, drone license and all that other stuff, and get news on that. They send me a magazine. Very rarely do I read them. I'll kind of like through, and if it's got anything of interest, I'll read it. And otherwise, boom, it goes in the trash can, or recycle bin, or whatever, wherever we put these things. And, but what about you? Do you do magazines still? It's an interesting move from that perspective. Now, that wasn't the only thing they announced. Obviously, iOS 12.2 is out, and Apple News Plus is supported. So you'll be able to, to get that if you so desire. Nancy says, that's because you're in Hawaii. Wait till you're back in the mainland. Change in wardrobe. Well, be honest with you, I travel a great deal throughout the mainland. So I have winter wear. I have clothes that allow me to go to Manhattan in December. So it's not as if I don't have, because I travel. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's going to suck wearing pants from about, well, I'm going to be the dude that you're going to see, why is that guy wearing shorts? And there's snow flurries. I'm going to be that guy because I hate wearing pants. I truly do. And maybe when it gets that cold, maybe I'll be back here in Hawaii or be somewhere else where it's a little warmer for a few days here and there. I'm sure at some point I'll have to pants up and get the long johns out and whatever. But yeah, but I'll be able to transition into it. That's the best part. I may be complaining just as much as everyone else does come November or December. But, yeah. So, be more fashionable. Yeah, there's definitely a difference between going to a business meeting in L.A. and going into a business meeting in New York. I can't, if in L.A., I just some Dockers and a untucked button-down shirt. And that's good enough, New York. Oh, no. You need to, you don't dare walk into a meeting with a $199 JCPenney suit. That doesn't really work. And especially when you're dealing in it, in an executive levels, you need to walk in with you just have to. You have the shoes all the way to the appropriate business wear. But it's a big, it's just a difference in coast for sure. So yeah, I'm prepared for that. It's good. But yeah, I'm not going to be a big fashion diva. The area I'm not going to, dressed up in the area I grew up in is a jeans and maybe a button down shirt. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get the drift. So also, Apple Arcade is Apple's new cross-platform gaming subscription. No price announced. It's coming, I think, in like November or something like that. So just another, we'll see what they're doing here is $9.99 for Apple News. This Apple Arcade is going to probably be $9.99, another $9.99 from us. See, it's all incremental. It's, this is the trick. And this is the thing that businesses always try to do. So they've got us using the devices, right? And we're buying apps And maybe we're paying a little, you know, premium stuff here and there. But the value, Apple puts a value on each user, the amount of revenue each user generates for the company. And that number is probably very closely held. You can probably do the math and get a rough idea. But if you can start incrementally increasing how much that customer is paying you every month, all of a sudden it's month after month after month, millions and millions and billions of people. Well, that's millions and billions and billions of new dollars that come in. And if they can have you do Apple News, Apple Arcade, and if they can have you do Apple TV Plus, which some of it will be free, then another tier. So let's say now you're paying Apple $30 a month or $40 or whatever it is across all your apps. And not only that, but the Apple TV Plus app is going to go into the Roku and on Google. So what they're being smart here is it's not just your Apple TV. You're going to be able to pay Apple some money using it through the Roku app or somewhere else. So it's very, very clear that what they want to do is reach into our pockets, pull out our wallets, you know, and hit that credit card a few more times a month, you know, and ding, 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 ding away. And you next thing you know, they've added another $100 billion to their coffers. So you can't blame them here. But the Apple TV presentation that they gave, to me at least, was weak. It was the, you know, they've had huge, huge trouble attracting big name media distribution folks to be able to be on their platform. And why? Well, it's very simple. Apple, the companies learned what Apple did with music, right? They figured it out. Whoa. You know, there you can buy a single for 99 cents. You can buy an album for $9.99. You can get Apple Music, and for $14.99 or whatever the cost is per month, another incremental spend. You give them streaming. They don't need their own library anymore. You become dependent. And so it's like my son was asking me the other day, he said, Dad, I found your music folder on the server. And I'm like, yeah. And he says, did you know there's like 45,000 tracks in there? I'm like, yeah. And he said, where'd you get all that? And I said, remember all those, you know, all those boxes of LPs and everything that I've had for all those years? And he says, yeah, no, those are all back in Michigan. I said, I own all that music and I ripped it and made it, put it in a digital format. He's like, oh, that's cool. And of course I'm like, load what you want. You know, I own it. You can use it. So, and for him actually owning and having the media on a hard drive that he could access as a 21-year-old was novel. He doesn't own CDs. None. He's on my family plan. He gets able to get streaming music for free. So there was stuff in there that he was like, wow, there's some retro stuff in there. I'm like, yeah. So, but the Apple TV announcement, because Apple so much changed the music space with iTunes, the TV executive's like, man, if they get hooks into us, we're done. We're done, we're done, we're done. But the problem is Apple has billions of dollars in cash reserve, and they're going to spend a measly $2 billion to put up some new series. And they're going to dabble their toes in the space. And you know, they can't stand toe-to-toe with Netflix at this point. They could if they wanted to, but I think they're still trying to find their way. YouTube TV, I think, did a good job. I'm pretty happy with YouTube TV and the offering that they have. Oh, there's some stuff on there that I don't use. So incrementally, we're all going to be spending the same amount of money that we used to pay the cable companies every month, and plus what we paid to the record companies and all this other stuff. So they're still getting their cash. Nothing has changed. It's just a different way of doing it. Those of you that live in Portland, live in Chicago and New York City, Apple Pay is coming to transit systems in major U.S. cities later this year. So be aware of that. You know, also, Apple's also figured out another revenue stream. It's going credit card. And you don't get a credit card in the mail. It's designed for the iPhone and will work with the Wallet app. You sign up for from your iPhone, and you can use it with Apple Pay in just a few minutes. And I'll be the first to say I was very impressed with this part of their demonstration. They have all this very cool graphic, show you how you're spending money. It's really slick. And I'll be honest with you, credit card companies should sit up in their chairs and just watch the Apple Card video portion of today's presentation. Now, the link I'll have in the show notes for you tonight is specifically the one from The Verge. Has a 7-minute replay of the long presentation that was made at Apple today. So if you sit through that 7 minutes, you'll get the whole rundown of what they announce. But this Apple Card, you're not going to get no miles, by the way. No miles with this card. But if they did, if I could get mileage with this, if I could have this linked to my United and or American account and collect miles on this, I might be tempted to use this as a primary credit card. Now, only 70% of businesses accept Apple Pay at this time. And it's higher in some countries. Australia is at 99% acceptance. So after signing up, you control the Apple Card from the Wallet app. When you tap on the card, you can see your latest transactions, how much you owe, and how much money you spent on each category. You can tap on a transaction, see the location in a tiny Apple Maps view. Every time you make an Apple Pay transaction, you get 2% back in cash. 2% back immediately. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm about ready to put about a $20,000 roof on my place. One of the teams that came in here said, hey, if you use a credit card, we got to charge you 3%. Well, I'm thinking to myself, okay, do I want 20,000 miles and I pay the additional 3%, or, you know, do I write them a check? You know, I'm thinking about this. But, you know, if the Apple Card gives you 2% back in cash on, you know, a $20,000 roof, I'm thinking to myself, that's only 1%. I'm only paying 1% on that, but still I'm not getting miles. If I was getting miles, that would be the kicker, wouldn't it? But that's the offer, 2% back in cash. And you don't have to wait till the end of the month. Your cash is credited every day. For Apple purchases, you get 3% back. So that's pretty slick. And they partnered with Goldman Sachs and MasterCard to issue the card. I don't know what the interest is going to be. If you want to apply, you can use the Apple Wallet. Now, remember here, folks, they will run a credit check on you, and you are getting a credit card, okay? So just be aware, if you're carrying around 3-4 cards now, you know, add another card. You know, you have to be careful on how many cards you're carrying, et cetera, et cetera. So keep this in mind before you go out and put down the, you know, do the application. So exciting stuff what Apple's doing here. But again, most of you, and maybe not this Akamai listening audience, many of you don't pay your balances off in full every month. So what happens when you do that? Well, whatever the interest rate is, you incur finance charge. And I am sure that Apple, who has partnered with Goldman Sachs, get a percentage of that finance fee. How can they pay you 2% back? Because they know the numbers. They know. Well, actually, they charge the merchant 3% to process. So, you know, they're making it up in volume. So they can give you the 2% back. But they know they're going to make money off you on finance charges. I've went many years. I'm very, very blessed. I'm thankful that I do not have to run an outstanding balance. There's been a few times. This Christmas, I paid about 3/4 of the bill 1 month, and I finished it up the next because we had family in and a whole bunch of stuff and overspent a little bit. So, but I can't, besides that, I can't really think back to any time where credit card companies must hate me because, you know, if the bill's $1,800, I write them a check for $1,800. I don't carry a credit balance. I just don't like giving people any money anymore when I don't have to. So I know not all of you are in that position, and I understand that. And some of you have credit card balances. And here's, you know, this is a tech show, but we're all family here. So if you are carrying a balance on a credit card, you know, I did it one time. I carried after my divorce and going through rough times. This is, you know, many, many years ago. I carried a balance on my credit cards for a long time. Some of it was not self-induced. Some of it was induced during the separation and divorce. This was, you know, we're going back 20 years plus. And I had too much credit card debt. Too much. Too many toys. Lived beyond my means. And it was ugly. I probably had 40,000 in credit card debt at one time. And at that point, you kind of get to the point where you're like, oh, how am I ever going to pay this back? Well, what I did, and I just used a simple formula. I took the highest interest rate cards, the highest, and I paid the minimum. Absolute minimum on the lowest interest rate cards, and the absolute most, I took every extra penny I had and put it against those high interest cards. And I focused on one card, the highest interest card, and I whacked and I whacked and I whacked and I whacked. In about 18 months, I had a card done. And then I moved down and I started on the next one. Boom, boom, boom. 12 months. Boom, I got it done. And I took that money that I had saved, that I was spending on that first card, and the money was, and I just added it on. I didn't change anything. So if I was paying $300 on one card, got it paid off. And then I was paying $200 the next, and $300 become $500 and $500 become $700 and $700 become $1,000. And in about three and a half years, the credit card debt was gone. But I didn't take that money that I saved. That, you know, I didn't take that $300 that I had just, you know, got that bill rid of. And I didn't use that money for something else. I used that money to get rid of the next card. And when we got credit card free, man, it was a good feeling. It was a good, good, good feeling. But that's how I did it. And, you know, I'm sure there's 25 different ways you can do this out there. I didn't go out and get, you know, try to renegotiate my bills. I incurred the debt. It's my fault. So I pay things off. And I understand sometimes people can't. They get in a situation, lose a job or whatever, and they have to declare bankruptcy. And that is, you know, available to anyone that's out there. But it was a good feeling to get those bills off my back. And then all that money, all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I had an extra $1,200 a month, and I'm not giving these stupid banks an extra, you know, $300 a month in interest fees. You know, I take that money then and put that somewhere else to good use. Instead of giving them stupid beep, beep, beep folks, any of my hard earned money. But, you know, many of you, you know, some of you carry zero. Some of you care balance. Some of you are worried about it. That's how I did it. I hope I have encouraged you a way to get rid of that debt. All right. Moving on here after I've lectured you all. I'm sorry. NASA is no longer planning to conduct its first all-women spacewalk this week. Astronaut Nick Hague will replace Annie McKaylin for the exclusion. Now, it would have been a historic event, but NASA's decided that he will take McLean's pace. The space agency says the issue has to do with the types of spacesuits that are available on the International Space Station. After completing a successful spacewalk with Hague on Friday, McCain realized that she is best suited to wearing a suit with a medium-sized hard upper torso instead of a large size one. NASA has at least two medium-sized spacesuit torsos on the ISS, but only one of them will be ready for the upcoming spacewalk on Friday. So NASA decided that Koch and Haig will wear the suits that are already prepared rather than reconfigure the spacesuits before Friday. Changing the suit would require adding arms and leg segments to the medium-sized torso, which can be a fairly labor-intensive process. Now, you think about these spacesuits to begin with, and their tool belts and all the stuff that they carry out there. It's pretty impressive if you really think about it. It really, really is. That they are, you know, these suits can protect them from the vacuums of space. They've definitely got that. And you know, there's some videos out there on YouTube that talks about the building of a spacesuit, but only 12. So it's, so just a little trivia here. The first woman to ever perform a spacewalk was cosmonaut Svetlana Shevashkina, who worked outside the Soviet space station on the Salyut 7 in 1984. Only 12 additional women have spacewalked since, and Koch will become the 14th female spacewalker on Friday. Since 1998, 214 spacewalks have occurred at the International Space Station. So, but it'd been nice. We had two ladies out there knocking things out, doing some maintenance. So, unfortunately, it's not going to happen, but nice to see at least the ladies out there doing their thing. So it's very, very exciting. And should be a very, I guess for a better word, for the moms and dads out there that have young ladies, this would be a great article to point them to and say, yes, you too can be an astronaut and do a spacewalk and work on the International Space Station. All right, Ethiopian Airlines has confirmed suspect flight software was used in the 737 MAX 8 crash. Meanwhile, American Airlines has canceled 90 flights a day. Oh, my goodness. So I wonder which ones are canceling. Huh. There. Hey, Jack, 90 flights. What is, you know, with an airline sitting on the side, how many airplanes do they have? How many 737-8s does, or MAX 8s does it American have? I'm kind of curious here, but, if they know that this software is the issue, and it's for stall. It's stall software. Basically, it helps prevent a stall, but instead it's causing crashes. You know, pilots are, you know, when I was flying with the Navy, we would go out and pilots were required to do X number of stalls. Take the airplane to the edge, and you start to feel a little shudder in the wings as it was starting to, you know, basically having not enough airflow across the wing to maintain lift. And when that happens, the airplane tends to fall out of the sky. So we would go up and get to that point in a training environment. We'd get to that point where we're getting ready to stall, and they power on, do what they had to do to recover from that potential. But the pilots trained. They trained to stall so that they knew what it felt like and what to do to recover. And I always liked going on those flights. It was fun and watching everything. And some pilots recovered faster than others, but they would do it 3, 4, 5 times. And the pilots got quicker on it. So, Jack, give me the rundown here on this. Why can't they just pull the breaker, disconnect the software, and then let the pilots do what they've been trained to do? And this MCS software was introduced with the 737 MAX range aircraft to deal with the design changes to the airframe. Boeing put larger, more fuel-efficient engines on the MAX range, which had to be mounted forward of the wing, which made the aircraft more prone to tipping back and stalling during flight. If the MCAS software detects the aircraft is rising too steeply, it automatically moves the elevators at the back of the aircraft to bring the nose down. Excuse me here. It's thought that an angle of attack sensor on board Lion Air Flight 610 in October sent faulty signals to the MCS, leading the system to activate and pitch the 737X MAX down and restarting such attempts after pilots repeatedly tried to pull up. It eventually crashed into the sea, killing 189 passengers. They say it's possible to disable. Indeed, the day before the Lion Air 610 tragedy, an off-duty pilot hitching a ride on another 737 MAX 8 realized that the plane was dangerously pitching down due to the MCS activating and instructed the duty pilots on how to disable the safety system so they could regain control of the aircraft, saving all on board. Disabling the MCS involved pulling the right breaker switches to kill it before it killed them. Relative few pilots were aware of MCS through, though, wow. It wasn't mentioned in the basic 737 MAX pilot manuals. How can that be? Huh. They did do a fix, but there was an $80,000 upgrade that not all companies purchased. Huh. Boeing is now working to fix the issue, including getting data from multiple sensors before activating MCAS. So I think what Boeing needs to do is just say, hey, here's the software. And take the upgrade. We're going to give you the upgrade for free. And making it easier to disable. There should be, you know, there should be a button right on the yoke to disable this. Because it takes time to reach behind, find the breaker, pull the breaker. So we'll see. American Airlines says the business has been, okay, how many do they have? Yeah, they're doing 90, they're canceling 90 flights a day based on the April schedule. By proactively canceling these flights, we're able to provide better service to our customers with availability and rebooking options. Folks who are on canceled flights will be told in advance by the airline that they can make alternative arrangements. Going to mean a lot of peeved passengers, profitable routes underserved, and add to Boeing's woes. Even if the FAA makes quick order to lift the grounding and ease American woes, the same might not be true for Boeing's aircraft in Europe. On Sunday, the senior EU official told the Financial Times the 737 MAX won't fly on the continent until Euro nation safety inspections have checked for themselves that the aircraft are safe. They said and this is true. They say the system was based on trust, and trust has gone. So sometimes airplanes are flying themselves too good. Too good. All right, let's talk about how hackers hijacked ACES software update to install backdoors in thousands of computers. Taiwan-based tech giant ASUS, as I like to call them, is believed to have pushed the malware to hundreds of thousands of customers through its trusted automatic software update tool after attackers compromised the company's servers and used it to push the malware to the machines. So researchers at the cybersecurity firm Kaspersky Labs said that ASUS, one of the world's largest computer makers, was unwittingly installing a malicious backdoor. The researchers estimate that 500,000 Windows machines received the malicious backdoor through the update server, although attackers appear to have been targeting only about 600 of those. The malware searched for targeted systems through their unique MAC addresses. Once on a system, it found one of the targeted addresses. The malware reached out to a command and control server the attackers operated, which then installed additional malware on those machines. Kaspersky Labs had uncovered the attack in January after adding a new supply chain detection technology to its scanning tool to catch anonymous code fragments hidden in legitimate code. So this was basically a man in the middle here. The attack shows that the trust model we're using based on known vendor names and validation of digital signatures cannot guarantee that you're safe from malware. Huh. The company has failed to reply. Symantec confirmed Kaspersky's site findings on Friday after being asked to see if any of its customers also received the malicious download. The company is still investigating the matter, but said in a phone call that at least 13,000 computers belonging to Symantec customers were infected with a malicious software update from Asus last year. Wow. So if you have a machine, and you're not running Symantec stuff, you might be infected. Okay. We'll see what Asus does on this. And they were targeting specific machines, they said. So they knew who they were after, which is kind of curious. Wonder what they were actually after. Doesn't say here. But this is a good article. It's long. Long. The link will be up in the show notes. How much data does streaming media use? Are you playing music on your phone all day? Would not be connected to Wi-Fi? Well, normal quality is about 160 kilobits per second. This show comes to you at 128 kilobits per second. So the file size on this show for an hour and 10 minutes will be about 50 meg. So 160 kilobit stream, it normally uses 1.2 megs per minute. 128 uses about a meg a minute. Or 72 megabits an hour. Now, high quality music is typically 320 kilobits per second, or using 2.4 meg per minute or 115 meg per hour. Most services will step you up and down depending on your internet connection that you have currently. Now, video, this show has about a 1 hour show, and 720p is about 1.2 gigs. So that tells you something on don't ever watch the video portion of the show without being on Wi-Fi. So again, HD quality video, 720p and 2K, uses about 0.9 gigs to 1.5 gigs per hour. So again, 0.9 gigs at 720p, and that's just about where we're at with this show. And so anyway, if you're, depending on who you have as a service, if you have a 10 gig plan, you can do 234 hours of low quality music or 85 hours of high quality music. You can do 11 hours of 720 video or 1.2 hours of 4K video. So this will give you an idea. And if you have a, you know, son or daughter in the house that's doing streaming video, playing games, this might be a good link for them. All right. Well, the Earth tilt is changing a little bit. Get ready for Milky Way season. Yes, the Milky Way. There's some nice night photos are becoming available. And of course, the Milky Way stretches across the early morning sky. And so as the Earth does its little shift here, and it's, you know, basically the Milky Way has been hiding behind the sun during the winter months. It has made its grand return, and you can see the Milky Way in the morning if you get up. Of course, it'll rise higher in the sky, becoming visible early every morning until midsummer when peak Milky Way viewing can be seen. So I have that information from space.com for you. Also, a man has pled guilty to scamming Facebook and Google over $120 million, which they have recovered, and he just basically set up a fake billing system. And using social engineering was able to get $120 million from these two companies. Isn't it kind of shocking? Someone, hey, you haven't paid your bill? You know, I've got banking information here for you. You owe me $80 million. Wouldn't you think if you're going to send somebody $80 million, you would check? Well, I guess they check post sending them the money, figured out it went to the wrong person. But this guy's got rolled up. He was in Lithuania, and he pled guilty to one count of wire fraud, facing up to 30 years, yes, in American jails. For those of you using Firefox, I got 10 quick Firefox tweaks to maximize your online privacy. That link will be up in the show notes for you. Also, did you hear about the new AirPods from PowerBeats Pro? A truly wireless sport headphone. So I like the Bose headphones. I really, really do. So let's see what they're going to cost. It's going to have 12 hours to play. The charging case doesn't really make it easy to charge them. What is the cost going to be? They're going to be $199. Can be available from third parties. You can use them in place of AirPods. I did order the new AirPods because they have much longer talk life. Mine, I'm getting maybe an hour and a half of talk out of my AirBuds now. I don't know if it's just because they're getting old and I use them so much, but I get that familiar, gives me a little indication that they're just about dead. So I'm looking forward to it. They're supposed to deliver 2 days from now. So I'll let you know on the next show how they are. Pentagon says all of Google's work on drones is exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. So they basically said that, nope, you're not getting this. And they used a some sort of clause in security guidelines, U.S. security guidelines, that basically says we don't have to reveal this to you. I guess it's because it's this agency's trying to keep this classified information secret. What is it? They discovered, but they cited a law permitting government agencies to block the disclosure of records that pertain to critical information, infrastructure security information. This designation requires an official explanation from the Pentagon, which The Intercept received and is publishing below. The memo signed by the Department of Defense Acting Chief Management Officer makes the argument that the Project Maven is so sensitive that disclosing essentially any fact about it could cause death and destruction, is the date in December 2018. So some stuff we have to keep locked up. Some stuff we have to keep locked up. All right, moving on here. Family tracking app was leaking real-time location data. Lovely. The app Family Locator, built by Australia-based software house React Apps, allows families to track each other in real time, such as spouses or parents wanting to know where their children are. It'll also let users set up geofence areas to send notification when a family member enters or leaves a certain location, such as school or work. But apparently the backend MongoDB database was left unprotected and accessible by anyone who knew where to look. So this was available for a while. And it had been hosted on a Microsoft database on Azure. And really, it's up to the database users to secure their stuff, to lock this stuff down. Someone wasn't doing their job. Final couple articles here. That's kind of cool. Have you heard about the giant R2-D2 observatory? Yes, we're talking about the R2-D2 in Star Wars, but someone painted an observatory as an R2-D2. You have to kind of laugh that they did this. And where's this at? In Germany? Yeah, so it's Dome Top of Zurbrücken Observatory. Looks like R2-D2. So you got to love the humor there. And finally tonight, what is coding and how does it work? Well, if those of you that are completely non-geeks, completely, and you're listening to the show and you want to know what coding is, I have an article for you on that. Okay, so let me hear. I got one email that came, or maybe a couple emails that came in. Let me go and read those. Wrong inbox. Here we go. Got an email from Bob. He said, "Hey, Todd, look at the Ford Edge. I'm my second one. I think it's a great vehicle. When you're going back to Michigan, it's great in the snow, and it's all-wheel drive. I get about 410 to 420 miles a tank before I fill it up, and mine has an 18-gallon tank. Good luck on your upcoming move. Take care, Bob in Dover, New Hampshire." So Ford Edge, I was looking at the Explorers first, and they had horrible gas mileage. And then I had actually stepped down and was looking at the Explorers, and there's a bunch of 2016 ones coming off lease. I saw a Sport that I was like, whoa, but it was right back up in the stratosphere on price. So it looks like some edge. How long you been, Bob, how long you been holding your edge? You know, I'm the type that once I buy a vehicle, I drive it till the wheels fall off. What do you do? I don't think these have been in production that long, have they? So I'm definitely leaning, even before you got the email, I got your email, I was leaning towards an edge. I've got some other suggestions. Kirk had sent me a suggestion. Now, Kirk, I hate to say anything here, but I'm not a real big Chevy fan. I'll take a look. He said, I drive a Chevy Equinox. I have one. It's great on gas, has Bluetooth, USB slot, an armrest. You can navigate the features via the steering wheel. And Kirk also sent some ideas on the new studio as well. But I think, Kirk, some of the ideas you're giving me is kind of some of the stuff I've had in the back of my head too. So we'll see. We'll see what we come up with. But yes, there's definitely going to be some backlighting going on for sure. We found out the accent lighting, as those of you who are watching the video today can see, that's blue. I can actually change that color, but I haven't changed it in years because the sidewall, those of you watching can see right over here in the corner, you can see a tip of blue. There's actually lights back behind there that add the accent lighting there. You can't quite see it in that corner. It doesn't get down that far, but you can see it in the shelving behind. I can actually change that color. Let's see here. What color can I change it to today? Is the battery still working this thing? Maybe not. It's dead. I haven't changed the batteries in this in a while. But anyway, we'll be doing some cool stuff. I'm looking forward to everyone's feedback. All right, I'm going to get everyone out of here before an hour. Good. I'll get you guys on to something else. If you have comments on today's show, please email me geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Those of you who've been live, thanks for hanging out. Before you go, say hello if you haven't said hello already. And then we'll be back with you on Thursday of this week. So the schedule continues. I don't leave for the NAB show until April 5th. No, 6th. Yeah, I leave on the 5th. So I'm here for three more shows, and then I'm out a week. And I think Kirk's picking up the shows that week. And then I'm back for a week, and then I go to Columbus, and I'll be doing the shows in Columbus when I'm down there. And then, am I looking at the right calendar here? 29th. Yeah. Okay. So, things are going to get crazy here real, real fast. It's just when April's done, man, it's going to be like boom, bang, boom, and the studio is going to get packed up. So we'll keep you advised on the schedule, but going to try to keep the ball rolling here, not miss any episodes, but we'll see how it goes. At some point, I'm going to take a little break, a little vacation, and I may do that during the transition time. I'm really not taking much of a break, but it'll be a working break. But anyway, we'll keep you advised. geeknews@gmail.com is email address. As always, geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy. For those of you that are insiders that continue to contribute every month, thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support of the show. It's absolutely, I'm honored that you consider to send your $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, and $25 donations. And sometimes we get donations that are bigger than that or one time. That's great. We definitely appreciate it. The insiders are a big integral part of the family here. And thank each and every one of you for your ongoing support. I hope that I continue to live up to the content delivery for you to make this value for value proposition that we have with you as an insider to help that. Those of you who are not insiders, this is a great time. This is a great, great time to jump on board and become one, especially over the next 6 months to help the show out. It would be greatly appreciated. Every dime and dollar is going to be important here as I make this expensive transition. I think we're all going to have exciting times ahead. All right, let's wrap the show up. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.